Okay, good morning everybody. Today's daf is Kedushin, daf Chav Dalet. We left off Chav Gimel Amud Beis at the very last line of the Amud. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Landerer in honor of his wife and children, also Lilu Nishmas, his mother, Golda Basimcha Le'ashalom. It's also sponsored in honor of the marriage of Chaim Tuvia Sif and Rina Bracha Pomerantz, and in Akoras HaTov for all Rabbi Leibowitz does for the Torah world. So we thank both sponsors very, very much for the sponsorship. So today's daf again, Kedushin daf Chav Dalet. We had finished yesterday, really sort of like in a little bit in the middle of a conversation that when you really got down to the nub of the issue between Rameir and the Chachamim, the machlokas was about whether an Eved can be Kona something without his master also being Kona the object. And we're going to sort of set the table when we actually start this piece in the Gemara on the very last line of Chav Gimel Amud Beis, why exactly we were talking about that. But the Gemara today is going to try to translate that, in other words, the inyan of whether an Eved is able to be Kona anything without the master simultaneously being Kona that item, into whether a woman also has powers of kinyanim without her husband having a kinyan in the thing that the woman is kona. And we're going to bring down the nafkamina as to whether the woman has to add a chomesh, one-fifth, when she is poda, the meiser sheni, belonging to her husband. And we'll explain why that might be the case when we get to this in the Gemara. The bulk of the daf, starting at the toward the bottom of Chav Dalet Amud Beis, Amud Aleph rather, going all the way into Chav Dalet Amud Beis, is going to talk about how we had mentioned that an Evan Ivri goes free both with Kesef and with Shar, and also he goes free with Shein Va'ayin, meaning if you knock out his eye or if you knock out his tooth, then he goes free. And we're going to talk about that it's not only the eye and the tooth that go for that make the Evan go free, but also if there's damage caused to any of his Chav Dalet Rashe Avarim. We're going to talk about what happens with respect to what if he's partially injured and then you fully injure him. What if he's totally not uninjured and then you partially injure him? Does the Eved go free in that scenario? We're going to see. It depends whether the injury is going to prevent him from actually performing his service. We're going to see a machlokas, which we actually saw in Maseches Gittin, as to whether somebody who's Yotze B'Shein Va'ayin also needs a Get Shichur when he leaves the master's domain or not. And we're generally going to talk about the types of injury that entitle an Eved to go free. We're going to see it's got to be an injury that is Begolui. We're going to see it has to be an injury that prevents him from doing work. And so therefore, if there's the type of injury that doesn't prevent him from doing any work at all, the Eved wouldn't go free for that type of injury. So again, that's the bulk of the daf. We left off again, Chav Gimel Amud Beis, last line, and just to reset where we are and why we're here. So we saw yesterday, we were discussing the concept of the Eved Kanani going free with Mammon. And we had brought down a machlokas yesterday, the Mammon that the Eved uses in order to purchase his freedom. Is it his own money or is it somebody else's money? So we saw there's a machlokas. So if you want to say that the Eved could use his own money, then that shita obviously assumes that the Eved is capable of having ownership in something without the master simultaneously getting ownership of that item. Because if the only way to redeem the Eved is to pay the master money, you can't pay the master his own money in order to redeem the Eved. And therefore, if everything that the Eved owns, the master owns, the Eved giving the master money of his own is going to be worthless. Therefore, the money has to come from somebody else. If, however, you want to say that the Eved can use his own money in order to purchase his freedom, that Mandi Amar will hold, Masha Kana Eved, Lo Kana Rabo, that it is possible for the Eved to acquire an item without his master simultaneously acquiring the item, and therefore it is possible in concept for the Eved to purchase his freedom with, quote, his own money, because whatever he owns, it's not that the master necessarily owns that item. At the end of the daf yesterday, we saw that there was a machlokas where he wanted to establish that there was a machlokas between Rav Meir and the Chachamim. What happens if a person says that I'm giving you the Eved $100, almanas, on the condition that your master doesn't have any rishus in this $100. Does that work? So Rav Meir said, no, it doesn't work, because immediately when you say, I'm giving you $100, the Eved gets the $100, and by the time you try to say, oh, almanas, that your master doesn't have any rights in the $100, it's too late. The Eved already got the $100, and the master immediately and simultaneously acquires the rights of the $100. Whereas the Chachamim said, no, it does work, because you gave the Eved money al tanai. We then wound up backing away from that explanation. We said, no. In that scenario, even the Chachamim agree that Masha Kana Eved Kana Rabo. We're talking about a situation where somebody gives money to the Eved and says, I am giving you this money only on the condition that you use it to purchase your freedom. Rav Meir says, still no good, because the second you say, I'm giving you money, the Eved is Kona the $100, therefore the master is immediately Kona the $100. Whereas the Chachamim say no, because the Eved never really got the money with no strings attached. The Eved only got the money with strings attached, and therefore he can't be Kona more rights in the money than that which the Makne intended to give him. And because the Makne intended to give him the $100 only for the specific purpose of buying his freedom, that stipulation works, say the Chachamim, and the master will not acquire rights to his money. That's where we left off yesterday. Now, with that in mind, the Gemara says on the bottom of Chaf Gimel Amud Beis, V'rami d'Rameir ad'Rameir, V'rami d'Rabbanan ad'Rabbanan. We're going to ask Akasha, the sheet of Rav Meir, on the sheet of Rav Meir, and the sheet of the Chachamim, on the sheet of the Chachamim. D'Tanya, because we learn the following in a Braisa, turning to Chaf Dalid Amud Aleph. Ein Isha Pode Meiser Sheni Belo Chomesh. A woman cannot be pode meiser sheni without adding a fifth. Meaning, says Rashi, the halacha is, first of all, you have to introduce what the halacha is by meiser sheni. The halacha by meiser sheni has to be redeemed, and it has to be brought to Yerushalayim to be. It has to be eaten in Yerushalayim, or it has to be deemed. You have to bring the money to Yerushalayim. You have to buy all sorts of produce with that money. You have to eat in Yerushalayim. Great. Okay. Now, what happens if you redeem, let's say Reuven redeems Meiser Sheni that belongs to Shimon, fine. So Reuven can redeem Meiser Sheni that belongs to Shimon at face value. What happens if Reuven wants to redeem his own Meiser Sheni? So if Reuven wants to redeem his own Meiser Sheni, then he's going to have to add a Chomesh. He's going to have to add a fifth. Now it's important to note that when we talk about a fifth, the fifth that the Torah or that the Gemara uses is really what we would call 25%. So, for example, if you have Meiser Sheni that's worth $100, what the Torah and what the Gemara call a fifth is really $25. $25 is a fourth, it's not a fifth. But the answer is no. The $25 on the total, meaning on the $100 face principal amount plus the fifth, plus the quarter, 100 plus 25 is 125. 25 is one-fifth of 125. That's why it's called a chomesh. But the important point for our discussion is not the calculation of the chomesh, it's that the chomesh is only added when you are poda your own meiser sheni, but not when you're poda the meiser sheni of somebody else. And what we saw here in this brisa is ein isha poda meiser sheni below chomesh. The woman can never be poda meiser sheni without a chomesh. Rashi says we're talking about where she's poda the meiser sheni of her husband. Why can't she ever be poda the meiser sheni of her husband without a chomesh? Because whatever money the woman is using to be poda the meiser sheni automatically belongs to her husband. Because we had said yesterday, just like there's a concept of masha kana eved kana rabo, there's also a similar concept of masha kansa isha kana bala, that whatever the woman acquires, her husband acquires. And if the woman is using her own money to be poda the meiser sheni of her husband, it turns out it's not really her money, it's the husband's money. And so when the Meiser Sheni of the husband is being nifdeh with the money of the husband, that's his own Meiser Sheni, which is being padui, and therefore you have to add a chomesh. Good, that's the sheet of the Tanakama. However, second line, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, Mishum Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar says in the name of Rabbi Meir that Isha Podem Meiser Sheni below chomesh, that the woman is able to be Podem Meiser Sheni without adding a chomesh, meaning Legabe the Meiser Sheni of her husband, the woman is going to be able to use her money, and she's going to be considered like an acher, like somebody else who's being poda the meiser sheni. And this is a shita of Rav Meir. So says the Gemara, hey chedami, what are we talking about? Ilema bezuzi debal of meiser debal. If she's using money of the husband, and it's the meiser sheni of the husband, meaning that the husband has meiser sheni. Now the husband and the wife, they're going to make a ruse. So the husband says to the wife, here, take $100 and be paid them by Meiser Sheni. Well, that obviously is a charade because it's the Meiser Sheni of the husband. It's being niftet through the money of the husband, and therefore, obviously, you have to add a chomesh. So ve'ela, says the Gemara, rather, bezuze didei. So she's only doing the shlichas of the Baal in that case. In other words, it's all phony. It's obviously the Baal being podeh his own meiser sheni. Ve'ela bezuze dida u'meiser didei. Elamai, we've got to be talking about where it's her money and his meiser sheni. And why doesn't she have to add a chomesh? So ish amarachmana velo isha, because the pasuk says ish velo isha. In other words, that ish mi maisro amarachmana, says Rashi. The pasuk talks about adding a chomesh only when a man is poda his own maiser sheni. However, when a woman is poda the maiser sheni of her husband, then she is considered to be like somebody else who's being poed to the Meiser Sheni of another person, and one person who's poed to the Meiser Sheni belonging to another person doesn't have to add the Chomesh. It's only when a person is poed to his own Meiser Sheni. So says the Gemara, El Elav ki hai gavna da'akni le acher mana. So obviously we can't, so now what the Gemara is struggling with is how is it that the woman is being poed to Meiser Sheni belonging to her husband with her own money? How does a woman ever have her own money if, according to Chazal, Masha Kansa Isha Kana Bala, that whatever the woman is being kone, the husband automatically and simultaneously is also kone? So how does that work? Ela Lav Kiai Gavna, Dakni Le Akar Mane, aren't we dealing with a situation where somebody else gives the woman a mane? The Yamarlo ancestor, Amanasha Tifti Boas Hamaiser, that I'm giving you this money only on the condition that you use it to be poda the Meiser Sheni, which is just like the case that we concluded yesterday's daf with, where somebody gives the Eved $100 and says, I'm giving you $100 only on the condition that you use the $100 in order to buy your freedom. And yesterday we saw a machlokes, and says the Gemara, Vipcha Shamin Anle, because yesterday we saw a machlokes where even if somebody gave the Eved money with this type of stipulation, that I'm giving it to you only on the condition that you use it in order to buy your freedom, Rameyer said that stipulation doesn't work. It's too late, because the second you give the guy the $100, his master is kone the $100. It was the Chachamim who said that the stipulation works. Over here in this Braisa, it's the Chachamim who say that there's no such thing as the woman being poda meiser sheni of her husband without adding a chomesh. But Rav Meir had said, yes, the woman, when she uses her own money to be poda the Meiser Sheni, does not have to add a chomesh. And how is it that the woman has her own money, where somebody gives the woman money saying that I'm giving this to you on the condition that you use it to be poda the husband's Meiser Sheni? But why does that tonight work? It didn't work by Eved. Why does it work by Yisha? Says the Gemara, Amar Abaye Epoch. Oh, you're right. This Braisa that we quoted today about Meiser Sheni, it's Rav Meir's the one who says that Eini Shapoda Meiser Sheni below Chomesh, and it's the Chachamim who say that no, she can be Poda the Meiser Sheni below Chomesh. For example, if somebody gives her $100 and says, I'm giving it to you on the condition that you use it to be Poda the Meiser Sheni of your husband. Rava says, no, Liolam Lo Tepach. We don't have to reverse the Shita and the Braisa. V'halcha b'meiser da'asa b'bei nasha askinan. And now we're talking about Meiser, which she inherited from, we're talking about Meiser that she inherited from her father. In other words, the woman inherited the Meiser Sheni from her father. Rav Meir Latamei, and Rav Meir goes according to his own reason, the Omer Meiser Mamon Hektishu, that Meiser is Mamon Hektish, v'lo koni le Baal, and therefore the Baal is not kone, the Baal is not kone, the Meiser that the woman inherited from her father. Rabbanan Latamayu, and the Rabbanan go according to their own reasoning, Diamar Maman Hedyatu Vakani Le Baal. And therefore, and since the husband is being Kone, the Meiser Sheni, that the woman that the wife inherited from her father, Hilkach Shlichusa de Baal Kavida. Therefore, she's doing the Shlichus of the Baal. Again, what does this case mean? So Rashi is very helpful here. So Rashi says, if it's about halfway down, the Aisim Ebeinosh, let's just read it inside, because Rashi's helpful in clarifying this. He says, Shemei Savia, that her father died, Vayolo Meiser Sheni, and he had Meiser Sheni, V'yarashtem Sharnachasim, and she inherited this Meiser Sheni from her father along with other nechasim. V'yerusha abal la'achar mikan nichse milogain. And a yerusha abal la'achar mikan, meaning a yerusha that she inherits after she's married, is considered to be like nichse milog. V'yolkach bem karka v'uachol peiros. What's the halacha by nichse milog? So the halacha by nichse milog is that the principal belongs to the wife. However, the peiros belong to the husband. So in other words, nichse milog, generally, they're karka. So, for example, you envision a field. The field generates produce. The husband has the entitlement to the produce, but the actual field belongs to the wife. So if the marriage ever dissolves, the wife takes the field when the marriage dissolves. So that's what we're talking about. We're talking about nichse milug. We're talking about meiser sheni that she inherited from her father after the marriage. Rameir l'tamei, continuing in Rashi, the Amar l'kaiman b'perek beis meiser mamon gavoahu. There's a machlokas as to whether meiser is mamon hedyot or mamon gavoah. A mayor says that meiser is considered to be like hektish. It's consecrated property. V'achilosu mishulchan gavoahu. And whoever's eating meiser, it's as if you're eating something that doesn't belong to you. Hilkach eino kishar nechasim l'maknyana Baal, betakanta, the tikkun rabbanon, peiros labal, and therefore the meiser sheni is never really owned by the husband, because the takana of mashakanta isha kana baila applies only by regular chulin assets. It doesn't apply to hektish assets. Hilkach lo zochibe, therefore the baal is not zoche in this meiser sheni. V'chaparkale bezuze de baal. Now Rashi fills in what the Gemara left out. The woman is not using her own money, because if a woman is using her own money to redeem her own meiser sheni, then she would have to add a chomesh. Ah, but the husband gave the woman money, so she's using the husband's money to be poda meiser sheni that still belongs to her. How does the meiser sheni still belong to her? It doesn't belong to the husband, because the meiser sheni is mamon gavoah, and therefore it's not acquired by the husband. So Rashi concludes, v'chi parkale bezuze debal, lav mi meisro hu dezuze dechad de meiser dechad, because there's separate ownership here. However, the Rabbanan said, again, we're continuing to read Rashi, Rabbanan lo tamayu damar mamon edyatu, v'chaylu alea takanta de Rabbanan, and therefore the takanta de Rabbanan is chal, the mashakansi isha kana baila, uperis labal kishar nechsemilug, that the baal owns the peiros, v'kivan de bezuze de baal parka boi chomesh. Now, if the husband does inherit this meiser sheni, and the woman is being poda the meiser sheni with money of the husband, then it's the husband's money, it's the husband's meiser, therefore you have to add a chomesh. So again, so we had asked that there is a stira between this brisa and the brisa that we saw yesterday, because yesterday Rameir seemed to say there's no way out of the concept of masha kan eved kan rabo. Over here he says there is a way out of masha kan seisha kan abayla, so it's a stira. So the Gemara said, no, it's not a stira. It's not a stira because meiser sheni is mamon gavoah, and therefore the general rules of Masha Kansa Isha Kanabaila don't apply to Meiser Sheni. That's the sum and substance of this whole brisa that we just saw. Okay, now switching gears at the two dots. Satana. Yotze b'shein v'ayin v'rashay evarim shein achozren. That the Eved Kanani goes free if his tooth or his eye is knocked out, or if any of the other 24 rashay evarim that don't regenerate are injured. What are the 24 rashay evarim? So if you have 10 fingers, you have 10 toes is 20, you have 2 ears is 22, you have the tip of your nose is 23, and then for a male Eved, the tip of his Aver Zachros is 24. Good. So those are the Chavdalid Rashay Evarim. Says the Gemara, Bishlam Hashem V'ayin Ksivei. The Torah talks about what happens when the Eved's eye or the Eved's tooth is knocked out. So I understand how we know that the Eved goes out with Shein V'ayin, it's Beferish and Apasuk. Ela Rashay Evarim Inalan. How do we know that he goes free even with Rashay Evarim, with the 24 Rashay Evarim? Says the Gemara, Dumya the Shein V'ayin. Well, because they're similar to Shein V'ayin. Ma Shein V'ayin Mumen Shebegoli Veinen Chozrin. Just like Shein V'ayin are mumen shebegalui, they are injuries that are in plain sight, veina chozrin, they also don't regenerate. Af kol mumen shebegalui, veina chozrin. So too, for any mum shebegalui that doesn't heal, that doesn't regenerate, the Eved is going to go free. And again, all of these extremities are called mumen shebegalui, because for example, if the Eved is injured on his shoulder or on his forearm or something like that, then that is ordinarily covered up by clothing. The fingers and the toes in that society also were all revealed. So obviously, same is true with the ears and the tip of the nose. Hopefully, not with the tip of the Aver Zachros. But the point is also, it protrudes from the body, and therefore, it is considered to be a mum shabagaloi ve'eino chozer. In other words, a mum shabagaloi, if the guy's in the bathhouse and he's not wearing any clothing, then it's going to be a mum shabagaloi. Good. So, ve'eima nehavi shein v'ayin kishnei ksuvam abom ke'echad v'chol shnei ksuvam abom ke'echad e'ma lamdin. So you are basically drawing a comparison between Shein V'ayin and other scenarios. But the question is, how do I know to draw a comparison between Shein V'ayin and other scenarios? Maybe Shein V'ayin are Shnei Ksuvin Abom Kechad, V'Shnei Ksuvin Abom Kechad Ein Melamdin. What is the concept of Shnei Ksuvin Abom Kechad Ein Melamdin? So we've had this already multiple times in the Gemara. So the concept is that if the Torah wanted to teach me something that applies broadly, the Torah would only have to have told it to me once. Because once the Torah tells me something a single time, I know that that is a general rule. I know that that rule is serious. Why would the Torah tell me something twice? So the Torah might tell me something twice because the halacha that the Torah is telling me may only apply in those specific scenarios. So how do I know that if the Torah says the Eved goes free with Shein, the Eved goes free with Ayin, how do I know to make a comparison at Tzara Shaveh to all other Rashi Yevara Veina Chozrim? Maybe it comes to teach me that the Eved only goes free for Shein V'ayin. Says the Gemara, no, it's not Shnei Ksuvim Abom Ke'echad because Tzricha, because we need both of Shein and Ayin. Because of Rachmana Shein, if the Pasuk only would have said that he goes free if he knocked out his tooth, Hava Amina Afilu Shein D'Chalav, I might think that the Eved goes free even if he knock out his baby tooth, because of Rachmana Ayin. Therefore, the Torah says Ayin, because just like you are born with an eye and you have that eye for the rest of your life, hopefully, so too, the only time the Eved goes free when you knock out his tooth is if you knock out the tooth that he's going to have for the rest of his life. The baby tooth is obviously going to fall out. It's going to be replaced by an adult tooth. Therefore, the Eved wouldn't go free if you knock out a baby tooth. Because of Rachmana Ayin, and if the Pasuk would have written only Ayin, Hava Mina Ma Ayin Shenivrimo, Avkal Shenivrimo, I might think that the only time the Eved goes free is if you damage a limb that he's born with, Avol Shein Lo, but if you knock out his tooth, the Eved is not going to go free because nobody is born with teeth, and therefore the tooth doesn't have the same criteria as the eye. Therefore, Tzricha, we need both Shein and Ayin. Therefore, they're not Shnei Ksuvim Abom Ke'echad. Because they're not Shnei Ksuvim Abom Ke'echad, I could learn that just like Shein V'Ayin are Mumin Shebegoli and Ein Chozrin, Kol Mumin Shebegoli V'Ein Chozrin, i.e. the Chav Dalet Rashi Evarim, the Eved is going to go free if any damage is caused to those Chav Dalet Rashi Evarim. Says the Gemara, Ve'ema, but why don't we learn like this? Kiyake Klal, Shein V'Ayin Prat. Why can I darshan from the methodology of klal and prat that the only thing that the Eved goes free for is Shein V'ayin, and he doesn't go free for any other injury? Says the Gemara, because la chafshi yashalchenu chazar v'klal, because you're not learning the klal and prat right. It's not a klal and prat, it's a klal uprat uklal. And therefore, klal uprat to klal, iatadun elakein afrat. In other words, it has to be similar to the prat, but it's not limited specifically to the prat. And here, ma prat mefurish mum shabagoli ben chozrin, just like the prat is a mum shabagoli that is not chozer, afkol mum shabagoli ben chozrin, so too, any mum shabagoli ben chozrin, the Eved is going to go free, meaning the Eved goes free if you damage any of his chavdalad rashi evarim, not only if you damage his shein va'ayin. Says the Gemara, but imav hafrat mefurish mum shabagoli ubotol mim malachzo ben chozer, just like the prat, in other words, Shein V'ayin, is a mum shabagolui. It's ein chozer and botel mimlachto. He has to take a time off from work. Avkol mum shabagolui vein chozer botel mimlachto. So too, by the chavdala rashi evarim, he should go free only if the injury prevents him from doing work. Alamatanya, however, we learn in Abraisa, Talash Vizikno, if you yanked the Eved's beard forcefully, Vidildolbo Etzem, and you dislocated his jawbone, then Eved Yosef Em Lecheiras, because then the Eved goes free. Why in the world does the Eved go free? The Eved is able to work even with a dislocated jaw. Okay, so he won't speak clearly, but he could still work. So don't I learn from Shein V'ayin that the only type of injury for which the Eved goes free is an injury that's going to prevent him from performing his service. But over here we have a brisa that says even if you just dislocate his jawbone by yanking at his beard, the eved is going to go free. It says the Gemara, no, because l'chavshi yishalchenu ribuyhu, that it's a ribuy. In other words, it's not a klal prata klal, it's a ribuy mi, it's ribuy. We saw already a couple of days ago, last week when I was giving the shiur, that the difference between klal prata klal and ribuy mi, it's riba, is that unlike by klal prata klal, that the last klal comes to expand the prat, but it has to be very similar to the prat. Ribuy miyut ribuy is a much broader expansion. In other words, the ribuy miyut ribuy includes everything except something which is totally dissimilar to the miyut. So says the Gemara, vi ribuyihu, afilu yikasa al yadav etzamsa v'sof alach sernami. Well, time out. If it's a ribuy miyut riba, then no matter what minor injury you cause the Eved should go free. So let's say the Eved is working and you give him a whack on the top of his hand and it causes his hand to wither a little bit and ultimately it's going to heal, then the Eved should go free. But Alama Tanya, yet we have a brisa that teaches me the opposite. If you hit the Eved on his hand and it withers a little bit, but it's ultimately going to regenerate, he's going to recuperate, and the Eved is going to heal totally. Ain Eved Yotze Balacheras. So then the Eved doesn't go free. So says the Gemara, well, M.K. and Shem Va'ayin Amaya Hanila. In other words, that if you wanted to say that the Eved goes free for any little type of mum over, then why are you using an example of Shein V'ayin? The whole point of Shein V'ayin is that there's a level of permanence. So what the Gemara has basically established is that the Eved goes free only if it's a mum shavagoli, only if it's ain a chozer, and only if it's not a mum over. We have thought initially to say that it's only that the Eved only goes free if he's batal mimlachto. We wind up saying, no, there's no criteria of batal mimlachto. That we know already from the brisa that spoke about dislocating the Eved's jaw by pulling on his beard. But we do see that it can't simply be a mum over. It has to be a more permanent type of mum, and that we learn from Shein Va'ayin. Okay, says the Gemara, Navaiter Tana Rabbanan. Bekulam Eved Yotze Bem Lecheiras, V'tzorech Get Shichwer Divrei Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says that for any of these Chav Dalet Rosh Yevarim, the Eved is going to go free, and he requires a Get Shichur. So we saw this again, as we mentioned in Maseches Gittin. I remember that only because I happened to have been giving this year when we learned this, when we learned the Sugya. Rav Meir Omer, Ein Tzarech. Rav Meir said that he doesn't need a Get Shichur. Rav Elezer Omer Tzarech. Rav Elezer says, no, he does need a Get Shichur. Rav Tarfon Omer, Ein Tzarech. Rav Tarfon said he doesn't need a Get Shichur. Rabbi Kiva Omer Tzarech. Rabbi Kiva says he needs a Get Shichur. Rav Machriyim Lefnei Chachamim Omerim. Those who are Machriyah Lefnei Chachamim, in other words, those who try to reconcile the Shitos in front of the Chachamim, they say, and now they're going to make a compromise, and which makes sense because they're called the Machriyim Lefnei Chachamim, that Nirin Divrei Rabbi Tarfon Meshein Va'ayin, that the Shita of Rabbi Tarfon who said that he does not require a Get Shichur, that is Mistaber in the case of Shein Va'ayin, Shatorah Zochsalo, because the Torah speaks about the Eved going free, and therefore we don't need the master to write Ishtar Shichur. And the words of Rabbi Kiva that he does require a Get Shichur apply by any of the other Chav Dalet Rosh Yevarim because it's only a Knas Chachamim. Says the Gemara, Knas HaKroi Kar Darshinan. We're darshaning Psukim of Shein V'ayin with Klala Prata Klala Ribu Miyat Riba to teach me that the Eved goes free for Chav Dalet Rosh Yevarim. That's not called Knas Chachamim. That's a Drusha in Psukim. No, I didn't mean a knas. I mean it's a drusha that therefore, since it's not mefurish in the pasuk, but rather it's learned as a drusha, in order to supplement the drusha, we are also going to require the master to write a shtar shichur to the eved. Says the Gemara, my time at the Rabbi Shimon. What's the reason for the shita of Reb Shimon? In other words, Reb Shimon is the one who says, or one of the Mandi Amrim who say, that the Eved requires a Get Shichur even if his Shein V'ayin were injured. Now, Shein V'ayin, again, the Torah says that they go free. That's Halacha Mefurish in the Torah. So if it's Halacha Mefurish in the Torah, why would the master then have to write a Get Shichur in order to prove the emancipation of the Eved, which the Torah already says he's emancipated. So why do we need to get Shechor from the master? Says the Gemara, it's in my time of the Reb Shimon. So what's the reason for Reb Shimon? Yalef Shiluach Shiluach Meisha, because he learned Shiluach Shiluach from Isha. Ma Isha Bishtar, Af Eved Nami Bishtar. Just like a woman always goes free with a shtar, i.e. a get, so too the Eved is always going to be emancipated with a get, no matter that the reason for the Eved going free is that you damaged his eye or his tooth. And the Torah said that the Eved has to go free. Still, in order to effectuate the freedom, in order to effectuate the emancipation, you have to give the Eved a shtar shechor. Says the Gemara, Rav Meir, and how about Rav Meir, who says that that the Eved does not require a get shechor. So ikas of chafshi lebesof kedekamrit, that if it would have said chafshi at the end of the pasuk, then you're right. Then it just would have said period, full stop. If he damages eye or his tooth, he goes free. Hasha dechsiv la chafshi yishalchenu havi le chafshi meikara. Rav Meir had said that it doesn't require a get shechor, because Rav Meir had said that it doesn't require a get shechor, because now that it says la chafshi yishalchenu, that you should send him free, we see that he doesn't require a get shechor. So in other words, that la chafshi, so this is now going to the sheet of the machriel of Nei Divrei Chachamim. It says, if you damage a shein v'ayin, la chafshi, period, he goes free. Yishalchenu means that the master has to set him free. The master has to set him free by writing him a get shechor. Yishalchenu explains Rashi. That means by the other chavdalad, Rashi Evarim, he requires a get shechor. But by Shein V'ayin Davka, he doesn't, because Shein V'ayin is mefurish in the pasuk. It's only by the other chavdalad, Rashi Evarim, that he's going to require a get shechor. Says the Gemara in Avaitu, Tan Rabbanan, about halfway down. Hiko al eino v'sama. If you hit him on his eye and you blind him, but you don't knock out his eye, al ozno v'charsha, or if you hit him on his ear, again, one of the other chavdalad rashi evarim, and you make him deaf, then eved yotza bem lecheiras, then the eved is going to go free. In other words, even though his extremity is still there, since it's damaged, since you caused irreversible damage, he's going to go free. Neged eino v'eino roe, let's say the eved is standing near a wall, and you smack the wall right near his eye. You don't hit the Eved himself, but you hit the wall right next to the Eved, and then the Eved is blinded. Keneged ozno v'eino shamea, or if you smack the wall near the Eved's ear and he can't hear, then ein Eved yozem l'cheiras. Then the Eved is not going to go free again, because you didn't hit the Eved himself. The Eved only goes free when you've hit the Eved's person. Over here, you didn't hit the Eved's person. You're making a big noise or you're smacking something right near the Eved. Therefore, the Eved is not going to go free. Some Rav Shamin LaRav Ashi says, Rav Shamin to Rav Ashi, Lememra de Kololav Klamu. Do you mean to tell me that sound is not considered to be substantial? Vatani, and obviously sound is not considered to be substantial, because the end effect here is the same thing as in the first case. In both cases, the Eved can't see, the Eved can't hear. But he only goes free when you smack him in the eye or on the ear. He doesn't go free when you only cause him to become blind, or when you cause him to become deaf. So that implies that kola is lav klum, that kol, that sound, is not substantial. Vatani Rami Bar Yecheskel, but Rami Bar Yecheskel tells us that tarnagol shoshet rosho lavir kleiz chuches. If a rooster sticks his head into a glass jar, v'tukabo, and starts cock-a-doodle-doing, v'shavro, and he breaks the glass jar, the mishalim nezek shalim, then he has to pay nezek shalim. The Amar Rav Yosef, and Rav Yosef said, Amri Bei Rav, that sus shetsonaf, a horse that neighs, v'chamor shenor, and a donkey that brays, v'shibro kelim, and they break kelim, v'toch habayis, v'shalman chatzinezek. They have to pay chatzinezek. So we see that all these animals did was they made noise, yet they have to pay nezek. The Gemara is a little strange, because in the first case, by the Tarnagol, it says nezek shalim, in the second case, it says chatzinezek. Rashi explains, because there's a machlokes, by something that's called chatzi nezek tsroros. So generally, damage that's caused by an animal is known as regel. So if the animal kicks something, then they would have to pay nezek shalem. What happens, tsroros are technically pebbles. So let's say like when an animal walks on the ground and it causes pebbles to shoot up from the ground because the animal is trotting on the ground, those pebbles are not a direct damage caused by the animal, but they were an indirect damage caused by the animal. There's a machlokas between Sumchas and the Chachamim. Sumchas says that you have to pay Nezek Shalem for Tzroros. However, the Rabbanan talk about Chatzi Nezek Tzroros. The Rabbanan who argue on Sumchas say that you only have to pay Chatzi Nezek. So the point of this brisa is to illustrate that kol is something, because over here all you have is an animal making noise, but the animal, the owner of the animal, is going to be responsible for the nezek. In the first part of the brisa, we say nezek shalem because we're going like sumchas to illustrate the shita of sumchas. In the second part of the brisa, we're saying chatzi nezek to illustrate the shita of the chachamim. But our point for our purpose is that we see that kol is something. So if kol is something, why when you make a loud noise, if you bang right near the Eved's ear and cause him to go deaf, how come the Eved doesn't go free? So says the Gemara, Amar Lei, Shani Adam, the Kivan, the Bardasu, Iu Mavis Nafshei. It's not really the guy who's yelling or making the big bang who's causing the Eved to go deaf. It's the Eved's own reaction because he goes into a state of shock. That's what causes him to go deaf. And therefore, that's why the Eved is not going to go free, because it's not solely caused by the other person. The Eved is contributing to the end result here because he puts himself in shock. Kedetanya, like we have a brisa. Mavis es chaveiro poter midin adam v'chay v'dinei shemayim. If somebody causes his friend to go into shock and therefore to become damaged, he's poter midin adam. In other words, technically he didn't damage him. However, v'chay v'dinei shemayim is not a nice thing to do. So ketzad, so what case are we describing? Taka ba'ozno v'charsho, if you blow a shofar, seasonal, right? It's nirna diyoma. If you blow a shofar right into the guy's ear and you make him deaf, then potter, then you're going to be potter because it's only sound, it's only kol. Ach zoso v'takabaz. No, if you grab his ear and then you blow the shofar into his ear, then chayev, then you're going to be chayev because you already damaged his ear, you touched his ear. Tana Rabbanan, says the Gemara Vayter, Iko aleino v'kasa, if you hit him in the eye and you weaken his eyesight, al sheino v'nadada, if you smack him in the tooth and you cause the tooth to be loose, if he could still see or if he could still chew, then the Eved doesn't go free because you didn't irreversibly damage him. However, if you damage his eye or if you damage his tooth to the extent that the Eved can't use them, then that's as good as knocking them out and then he goes free. We have another brisa. There's an Eved who was already weakened in eyesight and then you totally blinded him. Shino neduda vepilo. His tooth was already loose, and then you just totally knocked it out. And miyachal l'shtamesh bem kvar, if the Eved was able to work with them in their weakened state, and now you knock them out totally, then Eved yotzev m'lcheres, and the Eved is going to go free. Vimlav, however, if the Eved wasn't able to use his eye or his tooth anyway previously, then ein Eved yotzev m'lcheres, then the Eved is not going to go free. And says the Gemara, v'tzricha, and we need both of these cases. In other words, we need the case that tells me, says Rashi, that if the Eved was perfectly healthy, and then you damage the Eved to the extent that he can no longer use that faculty, then he goes free. And we also need the Raisa to tell me that if his faculty was already damaged, but usable, and then you totally got rid of it, then he also goes free. The Yashmina and Hachamaisa, if I would have had only the first Raisa, Mishum de Mekorin Horabari of Asha no Rekisha, because before he was perfectly healthy, he had good vision, and now you cause him to have bad vision. Avalacha de Mekorinami no Rekisha Emelo, but in the second case in the Braisa, where initially his eyesight was compromised, I might think maybe he doesn't go free. The Yashmina and Hach, and if you only taught me the second case, is Mishum de Sami Lagamre, is because at the end of the day, yeah, his eyesight was weakened, but in the end result is you totally blinded him. Avalosam delo sami lagamre emalo tzricha. However, I might think that where he was not blinded in the end result, maybe he doesn't go free tzricha. Therefore, we need both prices to teach me that either when he's totally blinded at the end and he had some faculty in the beginning, he goes free. And when he's perfectly healthy in the beginning, and then you compromise him to the extent that he can no longer have use of his limb, then he goes free for that as well. We'll stop here, and we will pick up with the Tanur Rabbanan tomorrow, because that starts the beginning of a slightly different conversation. Hope everybody has a wonderful day.